Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the Perek Lamed Ches, chapter 38 of Sefer Yeshayahu. In this Perek, we deal with Chizkiyahu's sickness. The Perek just as an overall, and then we're going to take a few points to ponder on. The beginning of the Perek describes how, by Yamim Ahem, in those days, Chala Chizkiyahu Lamus. Chizkiyahu got deathly ill, and Yeshayahu ben Amoz, of course the Navi, his teacher, comes to visit him and commands him and says, not in a very comforting way, he says, tell your house you're going to die, and that's it, no longer going to live. So Chizkiyahu turns his face to the Kir, to the wall, and he davens in a very passionate way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Ono Hashem, Zechorno es asheri salakti lefonecho be'emes uvelev shalem. Remember, please, all the good, the truth and the good I did before you, and let me live. In the meantime, Yeshayahu has walked out. As Yeshayahu walks out, Hashem says, return to him. Haloich v'amarta Chizkiyahu, kama Hashem of David avicha, shemati es tfilascha, ra'isi es demeascha, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayers. It's a very powerful moment over here where he is given back the power to live. It is interesting that in the Melachim version of this story, which we saw earlier, actually Yeshayahu left the room and was turned back. Here, it's a little. It sounds like it was in his presence. There's a more of a seeming harmony between the two of them. Nonetheless. He gives him the sign. This time, it's not that Chizkiyahu asks for the sign, but he gives him the sign. The sign is that I'm going to turn the degrees of the sun back 10 degrees from the times it was at the times of Achaz, your father. Remember, of course, this is important because Achaz did terrible things in his life. And what this is essentially saying metaphorically is, I'm going to allow you to reverse those actions. Even though your son's going to be bad and your father was bad, you yourself are going to be able to reverse these. It seems to be the metaphor is using the sundial of sorts. There's a sundial which actually has been found in a museum in Tahir, which is reflective of this type of sundial, the degrees and the numbers in those days, which reflected this idea. And it's almost like turning back the time that Chizkiyahu is able to do. The end of this perek describes Chizkiyahu Melech's michtav. Michtav to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda v'chaloisai v'chaloisai v'yichi mechal yoy. This is a michtav, like we see a michtav to David, we see in Tehillim. This is a song that Chizkiyahu makes and composes at the end of his sickness when he comes through it. And it's beautiful. It's all about how he expected to die and how he's been lived. I thought I was never going to see Hashem in the end of life. I would never see humans. I'm going to never see inhabitants again. But beautiful, beautiful descriptions. I thought I'd lost the thread of my life. But shavisi ada boike kaari kein yishaber tashlimeni. Beautiful descriptions how Hashem saves him and how he expected to die. This song does not appear in the Melachim version of this parak. So just a few basic questions over here. What is going on over here? Why is he not elamus? Why is such a good king going to die? And why did he get sick in the first place? So the Gemara tells us a very fascinating thing. Gemara in Brachos Kedaf Yud Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis tells us that it's a very interesting description. First of all, Rav Amnuna tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly, incredibly wise. Why? Because he knew how to make a compromise between two tzaddikim. Yeshayahu never wanted to go to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu never wanted to go to Yeshayahu, so he made Chizkiyahu sick, and he said, Yeshayahu, go visit him as Bikur Cholim. He goes and visits, and he brought the two together. Yeshayahu says, you're going to die because of your sins, and Chizkiyahu refuses to listen to this. The Gemara continues to say that the sin that he was liable for was the fact that he did not have children. The reason he did not want to have children was because he saw that his son would be Benashe, would be a terrible, terrible king, and in fact he was, and he did not want to bring such a child into this world. And Yeshayahu's response was, you're not in charge of the divine plans over here. You do your bit in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest, but you've got to make sure to do your thing. And if you're not doing your thing, then you're liable. Apparently, the Gezeirah had been set. There was no way for Chizkiyahu to escape this, but Chizkiyahu says, I have a Mesorah, I have a Kabbalah from Beis Avi Abba, from my father's house, that even when a sharp sword is on your neck, you never stop yourself from asking for rachamim, and that's what he does. He turns his face to the kir. The Gemara debates what the kir is, meaning that means to say whether he sort of turned to a privately to the wall where his bed was next to, or that means more metaphorically, the kiros liboy, the wall within his heart. Internally, he realized that it was himself, it was up to himself that he was able to do this and fix it. The Gemara gives another possibility that it's referring to the wall that was made by the Isha Shunamis for Elisha. And he said, look, in the schus of that wall that she made for Elisha, she was saved. She says, surely, you can save me for all the good I've done in my life. Okay, that's in the Gemara, very, very powerful, powerful Gemara. But what this really reflects, and this is the most important question you have to ask about this parak, is when did this entire episode actually take place? When did this choyli happen? Now, in the chronological order, it's been presented to us in Tanakh. It sounds like it's happened after the war, but it's not clear. It says by Yomim Ahim in those days. What does that mean? So there are a number of the later, more academic pirushim on Tanakh. So, for instance, Rav Yoel Ben Nun, Rav Binyamin Lau suggests that this episode actually occurs much earlier. It seems from the amount of years added to his life, the 15 years that were added, and it seems from the way that he's describing the circumstances at the time, the way that they're interacting, at least in the Yeshayahu version, it sounds like it is an earlier episode. It is happening while Chizkiyahu is at the height of his power, and Ashur is conquering the coastal territories, and is vanquishing along the coast of the Mediterranean. That's what it sounds like in terms of the one explanation. If that's so, this is a much earlier episode. It doesn't have so much to do with the direct conquest of Yerushalayim that's happening right now. What is strange then from one another? So, meaning the Rabbi Nuna tells us that they weren't speaking to each other. Why weren't they speaking to each other in the beginning? So the suggestion that Rabbi Nilau has is a very fascinating suggestion, and that is, so you go back to Perek Chof, remember that Yeshayahu gave a nevuah called Aron V'Yochef. He went unclothed and not shod in front of the king, and this is an expression of the fact that Israel was trusting in other powers like Egypt. What he's essentially saying is by making a coalition with the powers as Ashur, as Assyria, as conquering all the people around you, and you're making coalitions with Egypt, that is something which estranges me from you. It says Hashem, and hence Yeshayahu. So when Chizkiyahu was clearing all the idols and destroying the Nachash Nechoshes and bringing the bones of his father on a mitzvah shel chavalim, Yeshayahu says, good job, you're doing a fantastic job, you're removing all Avodah Zarah. But when you start making coalitions with the nations around you, I can't deal with you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you're not going to deal with him, I'm going to make him sick, so you go to visit him. That's the way that perhaps the background of the Gemara. However, it is important to note that the Malbim and Rashi suggest differently. Rashi says very clearly, what's by Yom Ahim? It means to say that this was 3 days before the destruction of the army of Sancheriv, which means to say that this is occurring immediately during that experience, during the same experience of Sancheriv's siege on Yerushalayim. So the two are actually converging on one another, these two ideas. The Malbim takes us one step further. And that is, the Malbim says, well, let's try to imagine this. A person has struggles from three levels in life. External difficulties that prevent them from serving Hashem, were called external impediments or enemies that can interrupt a person's life. Then you have a person's internal, physical impediments, so like one's body and the limitations one's body has. And the third level of impeding is when it comes to the spiritual side, which is one's midos, one's characteristics. Right over here, you see that Chizkiyahu is being attacked from both sides, externally as the enemy outside Yerushalayim, and internally he is sick. These two things have happened once. The internal forces of his body and the external forces of around Yerushalayim have converged. What essentially Yeshayahu is telling Chizkiyahu is that the way to solve both of those is only to fix the third, and that is one's characteristics. The innermost part, which is one's control. One does not control one's body fully. One does not control the enemies of oneself outside of oneself, but one does control one's spiritual direction, one's spiritual refinement, one's characteristics. Yeshayahu is essentially saying to him, if you're able to fix that is when you're able to ultimately correct what's going on outside. You can also put yourself in Yechizkiel's shoes for just a moment and appreciate how difficult this must be. A city under siege, a city which is splitting with betrayers and defectors, and trying to hold the toe of the line at the same time as being sick. This is a struggle for his very life and for his very kingdom, which is what makes it more complicated when you see that he says he sings a shira. But what's the shira about ultimately in the end? It's about his salvation from his personal misery, from his personal sickness. He does not mention the war against Sennacherib on the outside, which is why Chazal tells us the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Chizkiyahu would have been in the Melech HaMashiach were it not for the fact that he did not sing Shira on this wall. Why did he not sing Shira on this wall? Well, some of them later Mephoreshim suggest that, well, you can imagine, all of Yehuda has been taken captive, the villagers, tens of thousands of people have been killed. This is a siege which lasted till this point in time. You can sort of, let's think about the end of the Yom Kippur War. The nation of Israel won the Yom Kippur War, but think about the casualties. Think about just the sheer amount of loss of life. It's so shocking. How could you possibly sing Shira? That's what Chizkiyahu is going through at this point in time. But nonetheless, the fact that he was only able to say Shira on the personal experience is what in fact was considered an indictment against him. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.